Hey, everybody, and welcome to Love About Town, the podcast where two brown nerds discuss dating, sex, and relationships in an attempt to become better people. As always, you have me, your host, Kenise Mobley, and...
your boy, Rohan, everybody. Thanks so much for listening this week. We have a wonderful guest, cartoonist Emily Flake. We had such a wonderful conversation.
This week, we talk about shopping at IKEA, the embarrassing places we've lived while dating, and trying to raise a kid in New York. It's a fantastic time. So please welcome Emily Flake.
This is exactly it. This is a courtesy thing. This is like, I'm here. I'm your boyfriend. I am here to help you.
Put me to work.
Any way possible, yeah. Because I'm your boyfriend. She's like, no, I'm good. I can do this. Like, you know, I don't need your help. And so turns out she doesn't. She made a bookcase already. It looks great. She was like, just come and hold this. And I was like, oh, okay. And then I was like, are you sure you should be doing this? And she's like, you're a little backseat. You're a little backseat furniture maker, aren't you? And I was like, oh, I'm helping you and you're fucking shit-talking me? Call me a backseat furniture maker?
Well, were you being a backseat furniture maker? Were you?
I was like, well, we were trying to get this. You know how, like, you make a desk, right?
Yeah.
And then you have, like, the top, like, thing you got to put on. And then you got, like, every screw in. And the last two screws, like, you got to, like, move it around and jostle it around because the last two screws don't go in. And I was just trying to help out. And she's like, I've done this before. You were being a backseat. I'm like, bro, come on. I'm trying to help.
I do legitimately enjoy putting together IKEA furniture because it makes me feel almost like I have a skill.
Totally.
Yeah. Like, I'm like, look what I have built. I'm like, you didn't really build anything. You followed instructions.
Totally.
But you did it well. And you have furniture now. So.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And yeah, I don't like being robbed of that sense of accomplishment sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
But that said, sometimes you just need an extra pair of hands to like keep the thing in place while you put the other thing on the other
thing. That's what I am to her. That's like, all I am to my girlfriend.
You're
a fucking extra set of hands.
You're a clamp and that's it.
If there are two like cartoon people in the IKEA instructions, I feel like it's okay to ask for help.
That's true.
Oh, I completely agree with you, Emily. Like the idea of like putting together furniture from IKEA or Target or whatever that has instruction is like so satisfying. The hardest part is starting because you're just like, oh my God, it's so heavy. Stupid box. Then there's all this stupid wrapping. Oh, my apartment's a fucking mess now. I'm opening this. And then you just like, oh, I got to read these instructions. But then as soon as like everything locks in and then
it's
you
so
like,
great.
It's so great. And you feel so good about yourself when you're done. And you're like, why didn't I buy more furniture earlier?
I almost murdered a woman at the IKEA in Paramus, New Jersey.
Oh, yeah. Because
I bought, I don't even know what the item was anymore, but like I had borrowed a friend's car. I drove out there and I leaned the item against, like, it was like a two-level parking garage. And I leaned it against like the sort of like mezzanine or whatever. And the packaging broke and all these IKEA bits crashed into the second, and there was a lady down there looking up like, what the fuck? I'm like, I am so sorry. Like, of all the horrible things to go to jail for, I think
manslaughter
at an IKEA is like way low on my list of things.
Yeah,
I do imagine that a lot of people feel like committing manslaughter in IKEA, though. So
totally.
It's unsurprising. Yeah.
No, I'd go to jail for IKEA murder.
Yeah.
But IKEA manslaughter is just,
Right.
No,
right,
exactly. Right, right. Accidentally killing somebody at IKEA? No. Yeah. If you're going to die there.
You gotta mean it.
Yeah.
If you're going to die at IKEA, you should deserve to die. You know
what I'm saying? Yeah. I think we've all also deserved to die at an IKEA.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
I've gone too slow through the model houses, like where they have like a room set up and you're like, I just want to see what it feels like to live here. And people are like, keep it moving. There's a flow. You got to go from this point to this point. It's going to take you all day. You got to do it. So
I don't know how you two felt about IKEA when you were younger, but I would go like when my parents went shopping at IKEA, I'd go with them. And like being like 10 years old, I'd be like, man, when I'm an adult, I'm going to just drop 10K and get a room, like, and just get the IKEA room, you know, like looks so nice, like it'd be so cool. And then like now I'm thinking back on that thought and like just like laughing at the idea of having like an extra 10K lying around,
right?
To have like my own place
to spend, like, at IKEA.
Exactly, to spend it.
I've been looking at places because places are really cheap now. Yeah. Rohan, you can afford a place.
Just so you know,
you can afford a place by yourself.
And with the savings, you can buy IKEA furniture.
Yes, exactly.
Emily, are you based in New York?
I am.
Oh, okay.
In Brooklyn, in Windsor Terrace.
Oh, yeah. Oh, okay. Oh, all right. So we're close-ish.
Yeah.
I should also say that I'm super old. So when I was a kid, like, I don't know if there were IKEAs, but there certainly weren't, like, local or American IKEAs. So, yeah. You know, we had to go to the cave next door and have that caveman build us furniture.
We went to the cave next door as well. I distinctly remember this. I don't know why I have this particular memory in my system, but like we went to go buy this couch, and it's like in our family, it is like this. We don't have it anymore because my parents got rid of it when they moved. But it's like this historic couch. Like it's all denim. And it was like an all denim couch. It was huge. And it was just like, whenever we get home, me and my brother would just like jump on this couch. It was so durable. It was so comfortable. I slept on it like a million times. It was the perfect couch.
And
I
remember going to buy it with
a denim couch.
Dude, yes. And I know it's a denim couch. It looks like, and it's like 84 inches wide. It's like a huge couch.
Does it have pockets or rivets?
Yeah.
No.
I was like, I'm imagining
it should have.
Okay, not everyone's going to be able to get on this train with me, but I'm imagining the picture of Britney Spears and Justin Timberlake in matching all jean,
yes,
head-to-toe outfits. I'm imagining that as a couch. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, sure.
It's a bold choice.
Yeah.
And we had it for years because my parents, they were like, after maybe 3 years, they're like, we hate this couch. And me... And not just my brother, but like people that would come over would be like, no, this couch rules. It's great. Like you can't get rid of this. It's like so comfortable, whatever. Anyway, I remember going to buy it and the guy who sold us the couch, my brother and I were like kind of just like arguing, like wrestling. And he's like, you're the older one, right? And I was like, yeah. And he's like, man, just enjoy this now because in a few years, your brother is going to be taller than you and be able to kick your ass. And I was like, what? No, that's not true.
Wow.
And then lo and behold, this furniture guy was fucking right. And my brother did get taller than me and is much stronger than me and can definitely kick my ass.
He's stronger than you?
Oh, my God, yeah. I'm not a strong guy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But anyway, I don't know what that had to do with anything, but it was just to prove that I also went to other furniture stores and I got life advice at those stores.
Wow.
That I'm keeping for the rest of my life. Yeah.
Nice.
That ended up bearing true.
Wait, Emily, you're not that much old. Like when I grew up, there weren't IKEAs where I lived. And I remember getting to go to one for the first time and being just like in awe. Like it was a day, like we decided as a family, we're going to go spend this day and walk around. And if I get my own place now, hell yeah, I'm going to IKEA.
Fuck,
I'm getting
yeah.
dish sets for days, those very sturdy glasses that don't seem like they break. I need them.
Their enameled cast iron is weirdly good and affordable.
I'm getting it.
Yeah.
That sounds good. Enameled cast iron.
Just fuck like
seven
Lakers
layers
say.
Of protection.
Yeah.
It sounds so good. Yeah.
Yeah, Lakers say I saw an Instagram ad for them and it made me kind of mad because they were like $600 off. And I'm like, if you're able to give $600 off of an item, this item costs too much just to be cookware.
What's Lakers exactly. say?
It is a cookware brand. It's okay. Basically I think it's you're only legally allowed to get it at as a wedding present.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah,
yeah.
It's one of those you put on your registry because it's really expensive.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. Yeah, and it is very nice and it is very durable. But like you know, it's fucking cast iron. Of course, it's durable.
Are you Emily? Are you married?
I am married.
Okay. Now I have a question about wedding registries because I am now I'm fully against the idea of a wedding registry. I want cash. I want like cash. Just give me money. Give us money straight up check, however you want to pay it. Right. Just give us money. Now, if I had a wedding registry, what I would do is I would put expensive shit like that on there because it's like, oh, everything here is, you know, $300 or more. I'll just give them $150 cash at the wedding. It's like, yes, that's what
right.
I wanted. That's the only thing I wanted.
Yeah.
You got to put, and I'm just thinking about the strategy now. It's like, if I ever get married, I'm putting expensive shit on the registry.
I mean, we didn't have a wedding registry because we had a very like cheap and low key wedding. Like we got married in my friend's backyard in Greenpoint. Like I honestly didn't even really want to invite my parents, but it seemed like a bad move not to.
I imagine they'd be upset. I don't know your parents personally, but I feel like they get mad when you do that.
They would take that as a slight.
Okay.
But yeah, we basically threw a house party, and you know, we didn't even, like, people brought presents. We were like, oh, presents! I forgot presents were a thing that can happen at a wedding. I did make a registry when I had a baby, because I was like, people will buy you things, and I feel like if there's any ever a chance for me to, like, just straight up ask my friends for presents, this is it.
But
I have never liked the idea of, like, spending a lot of money on something like a wedding or a party, or
couldn't agree more.
Anything like that. So.
You and Rohan are in such agreement. I am the odd woman out. If I ever get married, it's going to be expensive as hell. I want presents from everybody.
Yeah.
This is my want. I want it.
You want the ice sculpture swan.
Well, I mean, a little bit, like, not ice sculpture swan, but, like, to me, just because it melts, I like things that last, but I will have a nice dress. It will be in a large hall. There will be a DJ. There will be gifts. There will be ceremonial things. There will be food options forever. It'll be over the top. I'm not getting married anytime soon, but just know you're
Kenise
all invited.
Loves to throw a party. That's the thing.
And I love to throw a party, and this is, like, my chance to throw a hella expensive party. Where everyone has to do what I say. So I want
you know
what
would be really fun, honestly, like, truly, like, I'm not even, this would be, like, the perfect wedding, is that whatever, you get married in the park, like you did, or, like, in someone's backyard, and it's just, like, your family, and then you just, like, rent out the bell house, and you just have, like, a dance party.
Yes.
Like, there's no press, there's, like, no speeches. It's, like, imagine if you're going to the club, it's just that. It's just that experience. And then it's just your friends and family. And if
I
there's
think
a
that's
DJ,
an
that would be fun.
Excellent idea. Yeah.
Everyone would have to dress how I say. That's what I want. If there's a theme, and you all have to dress how I say.
But coordinated.
Yes.
Yeah. Kenise just loves a party.
I do. I love a party.
Mm-hmm. No, a party is great. I have a good friend of mine, when she turned 40, she's like, you know, I am not getting married. Mm-hmm. I'm not having kids. I'm going to rent out the Montauk Club and throw myself
sick
a baller 40th birthday party. And it was amazing.
Right?
Have either of you ever been inside the Montauk Club?
No.
I don't even know
that?
Where it is. What is it?
So it's in Park Slope. It's on 8th Avenue, like, kind of close to Flatbush. But, like, this beautiful old mansion. And it's, like, an old school, like, gentleman's club. Like, not gentleman's club in the stripper sense. But, like, it's, like, but it's very shabby because it's utterly unhip at all. Like, it's not, like, a cool thing to do. But it's, like, it's beautiful. I mean, it's like one of those gorgeous old Park Slope giant ass mansions. Mm-hmm. Like, everything is slightly falling apart, which is, like, that's my aesthetic in a nutshell. I like old nice shit that hasn't been taken care of.
Oh,
like,
okay.
I like senile old shit.
But, like, early 20th century shit that, like, has, like, a lot of wood paneling.
Yes.
And did you ever see the first half of Melancholia? Did you go to the first half, not the second half?
I was never able to bring myself to watch that movie because the bummer is right there in the title.
It's a true bummer. It's a great movie.
It's Lars von Trier's only movie worth watching. I hate that director so much. I think he's a garbage human being and that we shouldn't give him our money. So if you can watch Melancholia, watch it on a streaming service where he doesn't get an additional dime for you watching it. That's important. Okay.
I disagree. I kind of like
legitimately the only Lars von Trier, like, film I have watched is a gif of the fox saying chaos reigns.
Oh.
I think that to myself all the time, but that movie, it made me mad and I wanted to punch him in the face, but I didn't.
But I'm picturing, like, the thing that you like is, like, the first half is a wedding and it's, like, in a place that you're describing. It's, like, in a mansion, kind of, like, secluded in, like, this big woods, and it's clearly, like, old moneyed place that's, like, falling apart but also charming because it's old and shit, and so
that
does rock.
That is my vibe, except not in the woods. I don't care much for the woods.
I appreciate that. Yeah, absolutely. So you had a very low-key chill wedding.
Yeah, it was like a backyard in Greenpoint, so it wasn't like a large backyard.
That's wonderful.
And I have a good friend who is a chef, and basically she's like, you buy the food and I will cook the food, and I'm like, that's a fantastic idea.
What a deal.
I gotta before I ever get married, which is if I ever do, I have to make friends with a chef. This is my new, I'm gonna do it.
Yeah, you had a date. How was your date yesterday, dude?
Don't worry about that.
Oh, it went good then.
So is it good. When you go on a date now, is this like an in-person date or are you Zoom dating?
I ate at a restaurant. It was 32 degrees outside. We ate outside. He gave me like warmers, like hand warmers.
Oh, that's sweet though.
Right? Yeah. And he gave me feet warmers. So I put some in my shoes and I held them in my pockets and we drank hot water and hot drinks. And it wasn't as bad as I thought it would be.
Was it a good date?
It was a good date, isn't it?
Yeah.
Where did you go?
We walked around the restaurant place. There was a bookstore that was open, and like no one was inside, so it felt a bit safe. I mean, the person who worked at the bookstore was there, but like it was just yeah. in, like a very large
yeah,
room.
Yeah, yeah.
No,
yeah.
They just leave the books there. Yeah. They trust that you'll leave the money on the register.
Right.
So we like walked around in a bookstore for a couple minutes, just so that also our toes. We were both like, does it feel like your toes are gonna break off? And it was like, oh yeah, me too. Okay, so we'll walk around in here for a couple minutes, and it was nice. It was cute.
Did he invite you back to his place?
We don't have to get into that.
Yeah, we do. Oh, he did. How, and then you went.
How do you first kiss in a pandemic? Like how?
A lot of negotiation.
Oh, that's, listen.
Not negotiation, but like, are we, what is safety? Okay.
I don't know if you know this, but the city MD has a place, you get tested and then they have a separate section for if it's your first day, you can kiss here.
Oh.
That's the separate section of City MD. Yeah.
So that's the idea. We wait in line for our COVID tests. We get our COVID test. Boom, boom.
I haven't been single since 2004. So, like, we didn't even negotiate
consent. You didn't even date in the Obama administration.
Like, nope.
You've been dating your husband for together for more than 16 years.
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah.
How did you guys meet?
We met. It's so boring. We met at work.
That's fine. At work.
Yeah,
that's so classic. I love it.
That's great.
It truly, truly is. Yeah, I used to work at a record distributor called Caroline. Mm-hmm. And basically, I started working there in January 2004, April 2004, shortly after I moved here. And then he sat next to me, and we were dating by May of year, and we have been together ever since.
That's so nice.
I'm that lazy. I'm like, you'll right do. There. Yeah.
No, that's nice.
Did you tell him that you'll do?
Yeah. That was pretty much the entirety of our first date. Was you'll do.
All right.
The first time we got together, so this is I feel like this is a very 2004 story.
I love it.
So a band called
The Fall.
We talked
about the Iraq War. Okay.
We talked about
The Fall. Okay. That band sounds vaguely familiar to me.
The Fall came and played our offices because that was a thing that happened, I guess.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So they came and played our offices and then everybody like went out and got drunk afterwards. Sure. And then somehow we ended up at the bar around the corner from like the disgusting apartment that I lived in.
Yes.
And then I brought him home to my disgusting apartment and somehow he didn't judge me right then and there as not a person to be around ever. And yeah, that's kind of been the deal ever since. But like, yeah, the fact that he didn't walk into where I was living, it was just like, no,
are you kidding me? This is so funny because women and men think oppositely about
what?
It. Are you, can you believe it? Oh my God.
It's like men are from Mars and women are from Venus.
It's just so funny how many tweets and like observations I hear from women and being like, man, when I think about all the men I slept with in my 20s that didn't have bed sheets, I cringe and you know, like that kind of shit. And like, I've been in so many like shitty apartments and just been like, well, I can't believe I'm going to have sex. This rocks. Like, excited. In my head, you know, these are all like the voices in my head. Like,
right.
Not only did I not have bed sheets, I think that it's possible that when I brought my husband home for the first time, I didn't have a bed. Like, I might have been sleeping on like a rapidly deflating air mattress at the time.
Oh, I did that for several years or several. I did that for like a year and a half in Los Angeles, and people went out with me, and honestly, a bit surprised.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I moved here from Chicago. I lived in Chicago for 4 years. Mm-hmm. And my last few months in Chicago, I had what I called TV boyfriend, which yes. was on my mattress, which did not have sheets on it. I had an old wood paneled television set that I laid sideways so that I could watch it lying down.
Dude, that is awesome.
That was TV boyfriend. And I'm pretty sure I brought somebody home and TV boyfriend was in the bed. I'm like, that's his TV boyfriend. Don't pay any attention to him.
Okay. Okay, I'm imagining that this TV is large enough to be stable, so it's not just going to fall over if you're moving around in the bed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Did you ever bump into it? Was that...
I don't recall having ever injured myself on TV Boyfriend. He wasn't very big. I mean, it was like one of those like portable sets with the handle top. So it was stable because it was kind of small, but very bulky.
Okay.
And yeah, I knew that. So like, it was like two reruns of Buffy and then Entertainment Tonight. And if I was still awake by the time This Old House came on, I was going to have a bad night.
That rocks.
I love that. And I love that. Like, did you live by yourself or did you live with other people?
No, I had a roommate. And my room, I'm a very, very dirty person. I'm not dirty, but I am a slob. I just had this like, just shit show of a room that I just kept the door closed as best as I could. But I had roommates who were generally more stable people who were just like, Emily. I know. I don't know why I'm like this.
That is incredible.
I love that.
It's so funny. It's just so funny. Like, I think about that too, just how many, like, my apartment was messy or like my room was unclean or like whatever, the sheets were old or something. And I just like, you, when in the moment you're like not thinking about it as much, and then just you just reflect on it later and you're just like, how did I have the confidence to bring people home in this environment? Did you sleep with me? But also, like, I think only like there's been one time where I hooked up with a woman and I got back to her place and I was just like, boy, this place is messy. But I didn't even think about that being like a deterrent for us hooking up.
I was just like, still that question.
Yeah.
Oh, I want to go back to something because we don't often have people who are married on the show. It's a lot of people who are still dating. Maybe they have a significant other, but not married and certainly not with kids. What was something about your now husband that let you know, oh, I think I could spend the rest of my life with this person?
What's the best way to put this? He was the first stable person. And I had this thing throughout my like teen and years and early 20s where, and this is hilarious considering I'm the one with a TV boyfriend, I was like, I bet I can fix you.
Yeah.
He was the first like person that I was in a serious relationship with, I feel like, where he didn't need me to fix him. In fact, he was just like, oh, you are a mess. I'm like, I am a mess.
Fix me.
Yeah. And like, maybe you could help me out a little bit. He also, and you know, not to sound super sentimental about it, he knows exactly who he is and makes no apologies for like who he is as a person. I'm like, that's an interesting take on how to be. I don't know what that's like. I still don't know what that's like, but, I'm like, so it really felt like, oh, let's see how this is. And he puts up with me. and here we are.
I didn't know you had children. That's one. How old are your kids?
I just have the one. She's 8.
Oh, she's 8. Oh, okay. Yeah. Gotcha. Oh my God. And she,
I have met your kid at a vision boarding thing. And I was terrified that I was going to say something wildly child inappropriate. I felt so bad. I was like, oh no. Okay. Oh, don't make that. Okay. I'm going to traumatize this child.
Let's back up for a second. And you brought your 8-year, what is a vision boarding thing?
Oh, so I've had vision boarding things. Kate Willett had a vision boarding thing where like I brought over like magazines, like everybody brought over like magazines, big construction paper, glue sticks, scissors, and you cut out things. It could be words or images, and you assemble them along with some sort of intention. So like sometimes it's just kind of loose collaging.
Okay.
But sometimes it is like, this is what I want for myself in the coming year. It can be as specific or as general.
Now this
as you
is what
want.
What I thought it was it was like a seance and you were communicating to like what? Afterlife.
Because that's it was witch like, boarding.
That's
very
witch
different.
Boarding. Okay.
Different.
Yeah.
Different.
For whatever reason, yeah. I had like a Ouija board in mind when you said vision.
No.
Boarding.
If you bring a kid to one of those, it's because you're going to sacrifice them.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
True,
see,
true,
now
true.
This makes so much. Now, like, that's why I was like, you brought your kid to that? And I was like, that's interesting. I was like, okay, cool. Like, you want them to learn that it's possible to talk to the dead when they're. Yeah. I was like, all right. But now this makes more sense. It's like, put out your the way you want to see your future. It's like,
yeah,
that's perfect yeah. for an 8-year-old.
Yeah. I think I was like, the yeah. half-assed fruits of my vision board are behind that other thing I tacked up on it, the red square behind me.
Yeah.
But no, and Tug had a really good time with that, actually. And first of all, like, I mean, she has me as a mother, so appropriateness is already,
yeah.
You know, that ship has sailed. But she still remembers that, and that was like 3 years ago, but she's mm-hmm. like, oh, right, we went to that ladies' party, and blah, blah, blah. And like, she remembers like every detail.
Whoa,
she
has that's cool.
She has a frighteningly good memory.
I mean, as Emily, where did you grow up?
I grew up near Hartford, Connecticut.
Oh, in Connecticut. Okay, yeah. Mm-hmm. I also grew up in this like in the suburbs as well, mm-hmm. of Jersey, right. And like meeting kids from New York, they're adults by the time they're 10. They're yeah. like a 23-year-old in a 10-year-old's body. So they're like mm-hmm. smart and they're like thoughtful. They like yeah. say things that you would never expect. You're like, what? Where did yeah. you hear that? It's just because yeah. they're exposed to so many different things.
Oh, God. It's my sister's like, she's so smart. I'm like, not really. It's just she grew up in Brooklyn.
Yeah, she just grew up. Yeah, exactly. She grew up in Brooklyn and she just heard it because no one cares how old you are. They'll just talk to you as if you're an adult, no matter how old you are.
Totally.
Because it's like, oh, you live here too. Great. We're all surviving. We're all surviving. We're going to get through this together.
I also like, you know, I kind of fast tracked her on TV because I don't like children's television. So yeah. I'm like, it's been kind of good during the pandemic because like she got super into The Good Place and Black-ish nice. And now we're watching Schitt's Creek together and aww. It's like, you know, and it's like, it's nice because she gets these shows.
Yeah.
So it's fun to like watch them with her. It's better than the inappropriate television I was raised on. So I feel
wait, what was okay the television that you were raised on?
Oh God. I mean, like just network crap. 80s TV was not particularly mm-hmm. good, but also like my parents took me to see Poltergeist in the theater when it came out, which was when I was like 5.
Yeah, people shouldn't do that.
Yeah.
Didn't like a little girl get taken in that
absolutely.
Movie? Yeah, okay.
by her television, which right. makes my television boyfriend thing have a whole yeah. other
there.
Yeah. yeah. yeah.
I would read that story. It seems like a good short story at the very least.
Yeah, I feel like I got to do something with this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I now the TV that we grew up in up with is not as like not as good at relaying emotions about relationships and life than no. I bet TV is now.
Yeah.
But I don't know. We ended up fine, I guess.
Yeah.
I
don't know. I'm fine, but like it's weird to me how do I put this? How evolved some things are now compared mm-hmm. to how they were in the 80s and how that's just like taken as a given to like mm-hmm. young people. So I am very curious, like even like relational stuff. And like, I'm right now working with a company on like, we're pitching a TV show about like empowering young women. And I'm like, damn, they're going to be like so much further along than we are. What are some God. Things that you see in your daughter where you're like, I wish I would have known that when I was yeah. 8. Like, I wish that I had had access to that sort of thing when I was 8.
Oh, totally. I mean, there's so much because like, I mean, first of all, even just little things, like she got glasses recently and she's super into the fact that she has glasses.
Yeah.
And I got glasses when I was a little younger than her. I was like, I'm a monster.
Same. Dude, same. I had glasses when I was 6 and I was self-conscious about them until I was like 21. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, truly crazy. Yeah, absolutely.
And, you know, she has so much more of a grip of like, you know, what the world is and how many people, like how many different kinds of people are in it. And she's like, she just has a better sense of everything, you know? And I think part of that is growing up here. And part of that is just growing up with, like, she sees more representation on television than I did. And I think that's a big deal. And yeah, she's just, I don't know. She's got it way more together also than I did at her age. Also, frankly, she has better parents.
Hell yeah. For sure.
Yeah. I think too, like, we didn't have access to information. We all lived in like a little bubble, whether that was like a geographical bubble or it was like an intellectual bubble or it was like an entertainment bubble, because we only had access, we didn't have access to the internet. Like the world wasn't at our fingertips too.
Exactly. And
I think that like we, like, you know, when Napster came out, that was like a huge deal for all of us. Right?
Yeah.
Like, that
yeah.
was like, I could download, I don't have to wait till it comes on the radio. You know, like that kind of shit.
All I have to do is plug my phone into this and let it download a song overnight. And then I get that song for free.
Yeah.
Exactly. Or like, we weren't able to absorb and learn lessons quick enough and shit. So it's just like all this stuff comes to us and then we're absorbing it. In our, I don't know, we're just absorbing it differently, I suppose. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I don't know where I was going with that. But like, we truly grew up in like certain bubbles, and then those bubbles are burst, and then we all react to the bursting of the bubble in a different way, I think.
Yeah. Older people have lost their minds. And when I say older people, I mean people who are 60 plus are like, what the fuck is the world now? And they just like, are still trying, they're like, oh no, oh, this isn't what we, oh no, this is bad.
I think that there is just like a general, like, I think men and women react this way where it's just like, oh, it's not the way that it used to be, and that really scares me. And if anything threatens like the way that I perceive the world for however many years I've been alive, that is like bad. And a lot of people still react that way, whether how, depending on how old they are, and it's fucking weird.
I don't understand it. You know, people, I feel like this world doesn't have as many opportunities for kids to get set in certain ways, which I think is a good thing, you know, like, because it's like, it's stuff that threatens how you understand the world that I think is frightening to people. And I think the more that kids are exposed to in terms of like everything, the more it's just like, they just build that into their understanding of the world. So none of it seems threatening. I think it's good.
Yeah, the only thing that I worry about, and like, this is just like a thing that I mean, I think about this for me too, is that like the bubble of information that I have, like, I wonder if I'm like getting all the information I need to be getting, or if like whatever social media or like digital content that I consume, the algorithm has created a bubble for me to like never escape that. And so I wonder what that's like for a child, where it's just like they don't even know that this exists, or they're not aware of this, the existence of this, and like, how do they expose themselves to like new ideas, whether those ideas are good or bad? It's just like, how do they know what they're getting is like good information? That's just something that,
like,
I think about.
I mean, are there, I don't know if there are classes on media literacy, but also like, I've and it's silly because I'm an adult person, but I've like never thought about how algorithms interact with children and how like that can be dangerous to just like give a kid whatever it wants.
It's, I mean, we're not at the point yet where she, you know, she's not on social media. She plays Roblox, which is a whole other ball of wax.
What is that?
So it's basically like a platform with a bunch of different games on it, but it's like multiplayer things where you can, you know, you have an avatar and you can do all this other stuff. And what she does is she gets on and then she FaceTimes with friends of hers. So it's interaction. It's like, I am way more lenient about it than I would be if we weren't in a pandemic and she was like seeing her friends on a much more regular basis. So, you know, it has functions kind of as a stopgap for, you know, she's got to have some kind of social interaction. I don't understand it, but also we have talked, I'm like, you know, don't talk to people you don't know on here, et cetera, et cetera. Like, she wants to start a YouTube channel, And I'm like, yeah, I know. I'm like, well, first of all, I'm not letting you do anything where like people know who you are or can comment or, you know, like, and also I just don't want to introduce her yet to that serotonin hit of like likes or, but you know, at some point she's going to want to be on social, whatever social media is cool when she's 13 or whatever. And that's, I mean, that is terrifying, you know, because like, I don't know how to navigate that shit at all, you know, and you know, we've been like lucky so far in terms of like, you know, her school doesn't really seem to have like a particular culture of like bullying or anything like that. You know, that's not, she doesn't talk about like cliques of mean girls or anything like that. I don't know. Maybe she's the mean girl. But
that's great.
Right. Yeah. She doesn't see the heap because she's at the top.
Yeah. exactly. She's the one giving out noogies. She's the one. Yeah. She doesn't know about online bullying.
Wait, that's what you think bullying is between women, noogies?
Right.
Bullying
Women is cutting. Cutting, and it ruined your self-esteem for years.
It's cutting your heart out and making you eat it in front of the whole class.
Yes.
You're right.
Like, yeah.
I was like, as if a woman would deign to noogie, as though that would be the thing.
Yeah.
Men bullying is pointing and laughing at one another.
Yeah. Yeah.
Women bullying is making you question your own sense of self, your value in the community, and your looks all at the same time. Yes. And being
I
like,
would 100 times rather have a beat down.
Yes. Than, like, please punch me in the face one time. Versus,
it's so funny. When I was a kid, that's so funny that you say that, because when I was a kid and like women would like complain about other women to me and be like, I hate this person. Like, it'd be so funny because they'd just be like chatting and I'd be like, oh, wow, I didn't know they were friends. And then they would like come up and be like, I hate that bitch. And I was like, what?
Yeah.
Why did this happen? And they're like, you can't believe they did this. And I'm like, what? I was like, oh, okay. I mean, like, yes. Yeah. I'm sorry if that happened. Are they talking shit about me?
And it's so weird with a kid, because it's like, you know, it brings up so many of your own issues.
Yeah.
You know, like when she was three, when she went to daycare and she had these two tight buddies who then sort of formed a nucleus and kind of cut her out.
Oh.
And then like at confession, she asked the priest to like pray to make her two friends be nice to her again. I was like, I'm like, oh, I will burn that daycare to the ground. And it's like, you know, they have to go through these like fire walks kind of on their, it's like, you can like hold their hand and talk to them about it, but you can't like engineer it for them. You know,
no,
and that's
you can't.
Like, oh, that's like, that's just going to be how it is until she's an adult, you know, like I got to be here for her, but not like, interfere.
I can't speak for everybody, but certainly like, I don't know if I want to have children, but like I love children and I think that I would be a good dad, but I think that the thing that I think about too is that like, we all want to be parents because we want to like avoid the mistakes we think our parents made on us, even though we love our parents very much. And so like, one of the things that I would love to teach a kid is that like, it's okay to fail. And not only is it okay to fail, you're going to fail.
Yes.
You're not going to be a success at everything. Mm-hmm. You are absolutely going to fail. And the thing is, you got to process it and then like move on and move forward from it and try not to do it again. And even when you do all of that, you're going to fail. You're always going to fail.
Yes.
And if I had known that that was a thing my whole life, like it's like, you're going to fail, it's going to be fine.
Mm-hmm.
I would have been a completely different person.
I
instead
wish,
of being afraid of it all the time.
I wish they had leaned on that, like in art school. You know, like they had said, like, you are going to stare down the barrel of your own incompetence every day.
Yes.
And you're going to break your heart with how short you fall of what you want to be.
Totally.
You know? But that's just a feeling you have to learn to live with.
Yeah.
And like, something that I keep telling my daughter is that, like, you know, because she's like, I want to be a writer and an artist and a comedian. I'm like, yay!
Yeah.
But you know, she'll draw something and she's like, I hate it. And I'm like, you have to hate almost everything you do. I'm like, the only the only bad art is the art you don't make. Just, you know,
totally.
Like, just do it and be okay with the fact that, like, you know, it's not always going to feel good. And most of the time it's going to feel shitty. And if you can live with that reality, then maybe you got a shot at doing this, kid.
Also, like, the thing that we don't know is that, like think about, like, the first thing you ever made. Like, I always think about this in comedy. It's like the first jokes I ever told. They were horrible, but I spent a year on stage telling them. Like, right, I spent at least a year. I spent two years in some cases, right? Yeah. But you did it because you have to do it because, like, that was a thing that, like, caused
that's
you
to be part of the
process. Only now, when you look back on it, you were like, oh, that was bad. And so, like, you learn from your mistakes. You, like, learn. You, like, grow. You have, like, a self-critical eye. Mm-hmm. And, like, as a kid, you're never going to know that that's the case. You're never going to know that whatever your daughter says that she hates is probably, like, she will get better as time goes on, and then she'll actually hate it for the right reasons in the next 6 years. You know? But you can't teach somebody that. You can't teach them.
As a kid, it feels like it's magic, and that there's some people who just do it, and it's amazing, and it feels like, wait, if I just do it and it's not amazing, I guess I don't have the magic that these people have. I guess I'm not good, and that sucks.
I'm 43 years old, and I still feel like that.
Yeah, you know? Right. Like,
all the time.
Totally, 100%.
Yeah.
And, like, you just don't, oh man, it's just, you can't teach anybody that. You can't teach
it over time and through successive failures. That's hard, man.
Yeah.
Exactly. Like, it's just a trial and error. And it's like, try whatever you want. Like, go ahead. But, like, also, just be aware that, you know, people might not like it, and that's okay.
Yeah.
And the only thing that matters is what you think is good, and, you know, don't let anybody else validate your art except for yourself. Like, you know, that kind of shit.
If at the end of your life you've done 3 or 4 things that you feel proud of, then you can die happy.
Like, oh, yeah.
Nice.
And everything for a child, like, I know this is how I felt as a child. It's just a life and death situation. It's just like,
oh, God. Yeah.
It's just like, if I don't do this right, like, I'm going to fail this test. That means I'm not good at school. And if I'm not good at school, that means that, you know, like, I'm not going to get a job as an adult. You know, like, that kind of shit. I would always think through that.
In middle school, it was a lie, but they were like, yeah, we've heard, I don't know if it's a hard decision sometimes when it's just high school grades, colleges, sometimes they'll look back at your middle school grades.
And
they lied and said that so that we would do better in school. It was very frustrating.
It's fucking nerve-wracking.
That's harsh. I luckily skipped that, having that life. I don't know. I had terrible grades in high school. But
I also didn't get good grades.
Oh God, I was honestly like an awful student. But unlike my older sister, I did not drop out or run away or get pregnant. So I really
quite the contrast.
Yeah, it kind of gave me, not exactly like carte blanche, but I was like, well, all I have to do is not do those things. I think I'm pretty okay.
Yeah, right. It's just very funny, too. I mean, like, people have said this, too, but it's just like, you're supposed to go to college and then figure out, like, what your life is going to be when you're 21 years old. And I can't imagine my 21-year-old self, like, deciding my life now.
Yeah.
You know, like, decisions you make then are just like, okay, well, you're bound to those forever. It's like,
yeah. What?
I also think that you shouldn't be allowed to take out student loans until you can like explain how compound interest works.
Yeah.
Yes. Sure.
Which means I would still not be eligible to take out the loans that I'm still paying back.
Oh,
there shouldn't be student loans to begin with, but that's a different debate.
Absolutely.
But yeah. But yeah. I agree. It's like, man, making it affordable and then like figuring out what you can afford, like all that, I'm not just like foisting those decisions on an 18-year-old.
No,
is insane.
I think it's nuts. I mean, I honestly think that like all kids should take a year between high school and college and like move out of their parents' house and just like work and pay rent and like, you know, kind of get the being out of the house out of their system first.
Yeah.
I think that's a good idea. We are super lucky because my husband's a dual citizen between here and Canada. So our daughter, like our entire college plan for her is like, you are going to go to Canadian
school. Yeah. You're going to McGill.
Yeah, exactly. Concordia, if you don't know the grades.
Okay. I was like, yeah, that's the only one I know. And whenever I meet someone who went to college in Canada, I'm like, McGill. And they're
McGill. You went to McGill. The one that I know.
Yeah.
Oh, I know another one. Queen's College, I think.
Where is that?
I don't know. Alberta, not Alberta. New Brunswick or some shit.
Okay,
like that.
I was like, there's a King's College in Charlotte, North Carolina. Yeah. So I always think it's that one. Oh,
there's probably one in Queens, right?
Yeah, probably. Yeah. Probably. Oh, that's right. Great. That's a great lie to tell. Not that I'm like out here telling lies all the time, but if I want to pretend I'm someone else, I'll just say I went to Queens College, and they can guess which one it is.
Yeah.
Oh, I went. Which one did you go to? Oh, I went to the other one. I'm so. Oh my God. I'm sorry. Yeah, this is
right.
Oh my God. Yeah, what is your husband also an artist?
No, he runs a record label and he does like label fulfillment orders like, for other labels.
That's so
he
was, cool.
That rocks.
you know, where we worked was a distributor and he worked in distribution for years in Canada and he was in a band when he was a younger person, but he's not young.
That's so cool.
That it really rocks. Yeah.
So yeah, we.
Does your daughter play instruments?
No, she's got, my husband got her like a $10 guitar at a stoop sale and like every once in a while he'll like show her some stuff and I'm like, no, teach her how to play guitar. But like there hasn't been like a concentrated effort to like teach her how to play guitar.
Right.
So yeah, I don't know if she's gonna like, you know, how interested she is in like being a musician at all. And I can't help her at all in terms of music. So.
Yeah.
But I can teach her how to effectively pack a box and use a tape gun. And I think that's also
hell
that
yeah.
Honestly,
yep.
I use that skill more than I use music skills.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah.
100%.
I was like, I had to pack boxes to ship Christmas presents. And I used,
Honestly, if you can just show her how to listen to a record or like how to listen to music. That's okay. That's like, that's your accomplishment.
Wait, exactly. Rohan, can you teach me how to, what do you mean? What?
No, you just like, you introduce them to the idea of listening to music. Like,
oh,
this
okay.
is a playlist.
I was like, yeah. Is there a way we're supposed to be doing it?
No.
Right. Wait, are we talking like music appreciation course right now?
Yeah.
I mean, John's definitely going to teach you how to play grade vinyl. But.
Oh, nice.
My dad, the first introduction I had to music was my dad had this like 50s, like, you know, whatever Motown, like tape, and he would play it in the car all the time.
Nice.
And then that was like my first introduction to music. And I remember being so excited for that tape when we were in the car, I was like, play the tape. And it had like Johnny Good and like whatever, you know, that's the one I remember the most. It's a Splish Blast, the Tequila song, you know.
You loved that as a kid.
Yeah, it was great because it was a cool saxophone part.
That is a great.
It is.
And
so that's what I mean. Like, just like, oh,
yeah.
Yeah.
Give
them a love for music, you know?
Okay.
It's okay to listen to music, and then they'll do whatever they want.
Tug is super into the 80s, which is interesting. And she is obsessed with Bon Jovi.
Whoa.
Oh, very funny to me. An 8-year-old today who loves Bon Jovi.
And we were talking about Christmas songs. And I was like, oh, well, you know, my favorite Christmas song is Fairy Tale of New York by the Pogues.
Love it.
Like, I cannot listen to that song without just crying hysterically.
Yeah.
And John's like, you know, Bon Jovi covered that. And Tug was like, I want to listen to it. And I found myself turning to her and saying, John Bon Jovi is a nice man who is taking care of himself and has like a loving wife and family. And he has not earned the right to sing that song.
There we go. See, this is another good thing to think. Like, you know, you got to have taste. You got to be a little bit snobby. You got to like.
Right.
You
gotta,
yeah, you have to teach them to have taste.
You had taste at 8. I had no taste at 8.
No, you don't have taste. But that's the thing. You have to teach them about the idea of having taste.
My mom did not teach me about taste. Evolve.
I actually don't like it when children have taste. Like, I think they should have like, you know, shitty taste and then come into taste on their own.
Yes, exactly.
You know, like
1,000,000% agree with that.
Ideally in high school, so I don't feel like a loser. Okay.
Exactly.
Let's be clear. If you are still standing, like if you're like, everyone I listened to in high school are still the same people I listen to on a daily basis now, and they're like the best music I've ever heard in my life, you've done something wrong. Everyone has bad taste, and you evolve out of the bad taste into like good taste. And you just have to learn the idea of having taste, and then let them do whatever the hell they want. Yeah, they'll do it.
I don't like the idea of like punk rock babies. You know what I mean? It's like they haven't earned that.
Yeah, I agree 100%.
Yeah,
1,000,000%.
Yeah,
yeah. They don't know what they're talking about.
Yeah, what sort of anguish and class struggle have they
come on.
Come to you at the age of 5 years old. Your dad brought you a t-shirt and you like your dad. So yeah, you say you like this band. And that's exactly fine.
Or basically your parents are using your chest as an extra billboard for their taste.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, yes. 100. Yes. Oh, yes. Yeah. That's what I don't agree with that either. It's like, yeah, if you want to buy a, if your daughter's like, I want to buy a Bon Jovi t-shirt, you let her. You're like,
absolutely. Okay, yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead. Get the Bon Jovi t-shirt. I'm going to laugh at you, but do it. My mom made fun of me for like all the music taste that I had. Like I'd like make her put on like System of a Down and like the Car and like the Red Hot Chili Peppers, right? And she would like laugh at me and she'd be like, "This music is bad." But yeah, and then like I'd be like, "Mom, shut up," you know. Like, yeah. Kind of. But now it's so funny because she was totally right, and like it's great. Yeah, like yeah, I loved it.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Yeah,
I want to be confused and appalled by what she's into as a teenager. You know,
that's awesome.
Like, I don't necessarily want it to speak to me, because if it's meaningful to her as like a dumb hormone ridden teen, it shouldn't mean anything to me.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Right.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
And also it like makes it cooler. Like whatever she likes, if her parents don't like it, it's like, oh, that's fucking exactly.
Yeah, this is cutting edge. Proof. They don't get it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm speaking the truth.
Is that what you felt about? I'm just imagining. So you said you like System of a Down.
Oh, yeah.
Linkin Park.
I love Linkin Park.
Of course you love Linkin Park.
I love, dude, all like that rap metal shit, like Korn and like Limp Bizkit.
Oh,
and, like,
my God. You like Korn?
Yeah, yeah, dude. I had a Korn poster above my bed until I was 18. I was such a loser.
Well, I mean, I don't think I was any better. Like in high school, my boyfriend at the time was super into the Beatles, so I got super into the Beatles.
Yeah,
but it was
that's
like,
cool.
Is this really? I mean, that's cool, kind of. But it's like, is this speaking to me? Like, is right, this really
yeah,
representing my experience in suburban North Carolina? Not really.
Right.
Yeah.
No, I want to be a cool uncle, though. I got to say, that's like my thing. Like, because your uncle, your uncle or your whatever, someone close to your family is the one who introduced you to cool shit. And I want to be that guy for like all my friends' kids.
Yeah.
Right. Be like, oh, wow. Oh, your parents listen to this shit? They suck, yo.
Right.
Wait, okay. Let's hypothetically, Rohan, you have a friend. Yeah. They have a kid. That kid is 10 years old.
Yeah.
What are you telling this kid to listen to?
Oh, I'm going to give him some. This is a great question. I haven't thought of this. I haven't fully thought it out yet. But you know, you give him like a Wilco album to listen to. You give
what?
Him like, you give him like a Radiohead album to listen to.
Do you want this child to be prematurely middle-aged?
Yeah.
Yes.
A Wilco album?
You give him some classic rock, you give him some you just get him into this.
Okay, classic rock. Fine. Wilco is for when you're tired.
Yeah, Wilco is for when you're tired. I agree. I'm trying to think what else. I would introduce him to to rap music too. I'd put some Rick Ross on there. I'd do some like Lil Wayne on there. I'd put some Eminem on there and be like, hey, you know, this guy was, when I was a kid, he was big.
Huge.
He's funny. He's a little bit outdated, but he's funny.
Right.
You know, like that kind of stuff. I don't know. But also like Billie Eilish and stuff. I like Billie Eilish. So you don't put her
on
there.
Like three songs like, oh, that,
that
were
person
on the radio.
By I, yeah. Yeah. I really like, you know who I like too? And this is like a Dua Lipa. She's great.
Yeah, I've heard so many good things about Dua Lipa. And I'm like, sure. I don't, right. If she could be living in my apartment, I would not know. Who is this woman? I don't know what she looks like.
I actually see her in your mirror right now. She's,
Oh, you know who I would definitely have on there? Haim. Do you guys listen to Haim?
Oh, yeah. Everybody likes Haim.
They're very good.
Yeah.
I heard them like on NPR yesterday, like in an interview, and they were they seemed very charming. Like,
yeah, nice, they're sisters, nice, and they're girls. Like, yeah, they're very charming, and they're cute, and it's like, it's nice.
All
yeah.
Right.
But that's, you know, you make that Spotify playlist for them, like things that you like, and then they're like, whoa, I never heard of this. And then they do their own research. And then they end up thinking the music that you initially sent them was bad, but okay, you know what? Like, that's your journey.
Yeah.
Right. I'm
projecting very far into the future.
Right. I am glad that you have this all thought out.
Yeah, exactly.
Thank you for answering. I was like, I'm happy that you answered my question. I don't have an answer to it. I was like, if it's an angry kid, Queens of the Stone Age?
Yeah.
Listen to these guitar riffs and feel better. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Get him an instrument. I would want my kid to be playing an instrument. But if they don't want to play it, that's okay. But, you know, you try to get him to play. Who knows? That's, I'd imagine it's very hard in New York to, like, raise a kid and then like have privacy for you to like learn and be bad at an instrument.
Yeah, there, you know, there's no real like practice space or anything like that. You know, there's not a garage or a basement they can go to or anything like that.
Exactly.
I don't know how kids navigate that.
Yeah, I don't either.
That's why they do like, you know, clicks and cuts, like bedroom, like, you know, like computer stuff, because you can just put on your headphones.
Oh, totally. Yeah. That's why. No, you're totally right. That is definitely like with the advent of all that like technology and like Pro Tools and shit, like you can just be on your computer and make a great rock album without knowing how to play any instruments.
That said, I mean, I would love for her to like be in a band when she's a teenager. Like, you know, I never had any musical talent whatsoever. So like, you know, my contribution to the scene was never being in a band. but I think it's good just like to learn camaraderie and to learn how to get along with people and to, you know, like, and I think learning an instrument is good just like for patience. So I don't know, maybe we'll soundproof her room.
My girlfriend has like a electronic drum kit because she used to play the drums and she bought one, and then like it's in this other room, and so like I play it sometimes, and then they hear like landlord sent a mass email to the building being like, hey, if you're playing like a musical instrument, just like keep it down during the day because, you know, there are other people staying at home. And I was like, oh fuck. My bad.
Sorry.
So I can only play like on the weekend, or like we like try to soundproof the room and stuff, but I don't know if it's not working. But
the daycare that my daughter went to, some band rented out the basement and practiced there like very loudly, like, and the poor owner, this Russian, she's like, I'm going to murder them all. Like, but we live above a pizzeria, and there is like, so we're on the second floor, and then there's a floor above us, it's another apartment, but then like off the side of the building there's like a little stubby apartment that has a basement. And I think there's somebody running a business, which may or may not be a weed dealership. there's the hella weed coming out of there.
Sure, yeah.
But I know they have this little basement space, and I was like, that would probably like be a great place to practice if totally. You know, if there's ever a band. And I know it's probably soundproof because the previous owner of this building shot himself down there.
Oh.
Like nobody came because they heard the gunshot. So
damn. Okay.
Yeah. So you know, it's been means tested.
It's been tested.
That is a good test.
And it's got a great music vibe. There's people smoking weed down there.
Exactly. There's ghosts.
It's soundproof.
Yeah.
You can just be yourself. You can experiment with a lot of things.
Maybe don't stay down there too long.
Probably not. Yeah, it's like maybe supervised. Yeah. I don't know. Just checking up. Oh my god. Right.
No, man. Yeah.
I love this. Okay, so we are coming up on the hour, and how we end every episode is with final thoughts. So things you've thought about, things you've reconsidered, things you just want listeners to know about you. I can start with mine. You've made having kids sound more fun than most people do, I will say. Not that they don't love their children, but the way that you described it, it's like, oh, this seems like a fun adventure where you learn about yourself and another person and this and that, versus like a hellish nightmare from which there is no escape, where you are dragged down and all semblance of your past self has to be subjugated for the purpose of this needy monster. So wow, that seems really nice.
It's both.
No, dude, it is both. But the best parents are always the ones who were like, had their own independent lives before they had kids. And they were like, I have tried to be successful at whatever it is I like. I have these interests. I'm a real human being, and having a child is not like a validation of my existence. It's part of my existence, you know?
Yes.
And so like, those are always the best parents. So
And it turns out people who are like at least a little bit reasonably happy or fulfilled kind of make better everything.
Yeah, 100%.
Not to skew too dark at the end here, but you know, the pandemic parenting has been like a whole thing. And I was talking to my sister and I was like, you know, I've been so quick to anger and so like crabby and fractious, and I just feel trapped all the time. And I'm like, this must have been what our mom felt like all the time, every day. And she's like, oh yeah, you're probably right. You know, because like I was lucky enough to, you know, I had my daughter when I was 35, you know, and I had already like gotten to do a lot of the things that I wanted to do. It's not like I was done, but it's like, you know, sure. I'm like, I could sort of integrate her into my life in a totally different way. And I mean, my sister had her first kid when she was 17, but in a way she just kind of like rolled on living her life.
Right.
So, I mean, we both had experiences that were not like what our mom got to do, you know? And I think that that helped both of us in very different ways. And yeah, I mean, I don't know, because I don't have any dating advice, because this is
wrong. No, that's okay.
But I think that the thing that makes me feel luckiest in terms of my relationship is that we like legitimately and honestly like each other. And I think that's the most important thing. Like we love each other, but also like I think he's cool. Like I'd want to hang out with him even if we weren't married.
That's great. After 16 years together, that's huge to me.
That's awesome. That's awesome that you feel that way about your husband, and like just be able to continue to like maintain that over such a long period of time is so important. And like you have, dude. Truly,
I haven't jinxed anything by saying.
Yeah, it's right. It's like someone you want to hang out with, someone that you like respect. Like I can't imagine being with someone whose like opinion I don't respect, or like being with somebody who's just like, you're like so fucking stupid. Like if I've ever said that about you, and it has nothing to do with like, you know, like. I don't know, just like, you know, oh, this is a dumb show that I like. I don't give a shit about that. It's like, oh, you're so stupid for liking it. But if it's just like an actual dumb opinion, it's just like, I can't be with you. I can't like be with somebody who just isn't thoughtful. You know, like who I don't like as a person.
Like if you went up married to an anti-vaxxer, it's like, like, what have you done?
Right. Or just like, man, I see like couples where it's just like one of like it's either the guy or the girl. One of them is like just like incredibly attractive, and the other one is like also attractive, but just not as attractive as the other person. And the attractive person just says dumb shit. They act stupid, and they like make a fool out of themselves in public, like so. And then you just have to be there, and you're just like,
yeah.
Oh man, wow, huh? How she's hot though, and, or he's hot though, and it's like, bro.
It's not worth it.
That is an advantage of being older, is like it's like less and less matters. like the whole hotness factor, like we're just old and disgusting and stuck with each other.
If we can still have fun with each other, that's like the important thing.
Man, you're painting a good picture of the future. I love it. Thank you. Wait, Rohan, what was your final thought?
My final thought is I love Emily not having like a big wedding like in a backyard at Greenpoint. And I would like to continue
to
be.
This is part of his agenda, okay, Emily? I want you to know that, yes, he is agreeing with you, but this is part of a longstanding anti-wedding agenda that Rohan has.
I'm against the wedding industrial complex.
Support that agenda.
Yeah, 100%. Exactly. Hell yeah. I don't want to get into wedding debt. There are people who are in wedding debt. Can you believe that shit?
No one wants wedding debt.
No, but you know, like, I'm into having a small intimate ceremony. And I'm also into having a huge dance party instead of an actual reception, you know?
Yes.
You can have food if there if you want, but it's mostly like, if you want to do Molly before my reception, go nuts, baby. Do it. I love it. You don't even have to say hi to me. Just be there. Enjoy yourself, you know?
When your wedding could have been a down payment on a house.
That fucking blows. So no, have it in your backyard and then have a big dance party. That's my wedding. That's my final thought.
Yeah.
Okay. So listeners, if you hate that, write a review and say that you hate it, but give us
you can write
anyway.
To loveaboutownpodcast@gmail.com to tell Rohan that he is wrong about weddings, that it's fun and that you get presents and it's not bad. I've never done it, not close to doing it, but don't rain on my parade, Rohan. Don't do it. Okay. Emily, where can people find you on the internet? Anything you want to promote?
Yes, my website is emilyflake.com. I'm on Twitter, at Emily Flake. I'm on Instagram at eflakeagogo. And I'm starting a writing residency for lady or lady identified humor writers, in Pennsylvania. So I'm going to be talking about that a lot in the next year as we get that together. Yeah.
That's so cool.
And no, I hope I don't fuck it up.
And it sounds great.
I hope it will be.
Yeah. If you don't follow Emily already, you need to. Your Twitter is great. I love following you. I love interacting with you online. It just makes me so happy.
Yay, Rohan, same.
Yeah, at Rohan Padgett, cool guy on Instagram. I am Rohan, cool guy on Twitter. Like and rate the pod, and like leave us nice reviews, and write us emails, loveabouttownpodcast@gmail.com. And we will answer them if we get any good ones. If your question is
honestly,
like,
if we get any at all, we're not particularly picky. I don't know why you need to pretend as though we're like very discerning in which ones we're going to answer. We'll answer all.
Loveabouttownpodcast@gmail.com. Write us questions. Leave and review the podcast. Thanks for listening.
And I am Kenise Mobley on all the platforms. You can check me out. My show, Make Yourself Cry, which is a show where people try to. They show me what makes them cry. We see if I cry. You know, we all get emotionally better and deeper as people. It's a good time. Check it out. So, yeah, this has been Love About Town. Thanks so much for listening.
Thanks for listening, Yay. Everyone.
Bye.